First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. First Chronicles, we'll go to the end of the book, near the end of the book, chapter 28 and 29. The message this morning is first and foremost intended for our four graduates up here. So Daniel, would you make sure Justice doesn't fall asleep? Tap him on the back of the head. But frankly, it's a wonderful opportunity to evaluate all of us, to evaluate our lives and where we are standing before the Lord and if we're following through on what God has asked each of us to do. David is coming to the conclusion of his life. Very interesting as you walk through the books of, well, essentially the end of 2 Samuel into 1 Chronicles where David's life is completed. And then as well as you have it recorded here in 1 Chronicles, a couple different avenues of directions at which the Lord revealed to us through his word what David's thoughts and heartbeat was at the end of his life. I think many of you have thought these thoughts, those of the older generation, what can I do to pass on truth to this next generation? And what's most important? After all that's happened in David's life, what would he say to his son Solomon, who now was established on the throne, and we hear the amazing story of even Solomon almost not getting the throne. Adonijah, his older brother, thought that he could take the throne, and there was almost a rebellion right at the end of David's reign as well. God putting that together. Solomon's on the throne. He's essentially a co-regent with David for a short time. We're not sure exactly how long, where they're both kings of the nation. And yet David knows that his days are soon done. I don't know if he sensed it from the Lord or if he sensed it in his own body. I know that many of you in your older generation feel like, in fact, I'll pick on Bud this morning. He says, I don't know if I want to die or if I want to keep living. You know, it's like, ugh. It's like one moment you're feeling good and the next moment you're like, oh man, I'm heading straight to the grave. Anyways, I don't know if it was that same thing with David, that he was like, I'm not sure. I just sense that my body is giving way, that I'll soon be gone. Whatever it was, he understood and knew that his time was brief. And so he wanted to pass along to his son Solomon in particular the passion and heartbeat of his life. Now, if we don't have time to read these whole two chapters, I would love to just read them and maybe be done, but I think we need to do some little bit of explaining, especially for our graduates this morning. As he's walked toward the end of his life, if you'll recall that he had a desire to build a temple for the Lord. If I can put it this way, probably a culminating work to his life and ministry. He had faced a number of battles, had won great territory for Israel. Israel had now become the dominant nation in that region of the country, in that region of the world. His enemies had been basically put down, and he wanted to focus on building that temple. And remember, Nathan, the prophet, had told him, David, do it. It's in your heart. Go after it. And then that night, God came to Nathan and said, I want you to go back to David and tell him, no, he's not the one to build the temple. I'll have his son do that. Now, David, instead of being bitter, did all that God permitted him, allowed him to do. He began the great preparations. And in fact, we have recorded no other spot but here that we understand that God actually directed David in putting together the plans for the temple. What we call Solomon's temple, in many, many ways, was David's temple. It was God's temple. But David was the one that drew up all the original architectural drawings. He was the one that began to amass the huge amounts of material to be able to put this building together, vast stores of materials. And he did all that. That's one of the reasons why Solomon was able to actually build this massive, magnificent structure, one of the great wonders of the ancient world, frankly, in a rather brief short of time, because David had done all kinds of prep work. Now, could you imagine, maybe to put ourselves in a little bit of the scenario, let's say the Lord prospers our church, Heritage Baptist Church, and in about 5 years, we're building an auditorium, maybe back behind here or whatever, that's twice the size of this auditorium, because the Lord's growing us. I mean, we're in here like sardines, and God's prospering the work of the ministry. And let's just, I don't know, we'll pick on, I guess I won't name anybody today, but let's pick on somebody that, let's say at that moment they're like in their 70s. But they have all the skills to help direct us. You know, they've done architectural work, and they can be our man on the spot specialist, all right? He's worked with contractors, whatever. And the building begins, and we start planning, and we go through all the processes, and then we get all the government delays for 40 years. And then, okay, I'm sorry, there's, okay. And the man that's the lead of the project, it's like the Lord has given him this wonderful opportunity to help. And then he senses, I don't know that I'm going to make it. And to have one of the greatest works of one's life to be passed on to somebody else, that's where David's at. He couldn't build the temple himself. It was beyond his lifetime. It was beyond God's will for his life. But he knew it was God's will. And now he had to trust somebody else. Now, it happened to be his own son. You say, oh, that's great. Okay, no, it's not. Even if you've raised sons, you begin to wonder at times. All right, nothing against you, Daniel. Okay, all right. Then it's like, will they have the same heartbeat and direction that the Lord has worked in my life? And it's a matter of, frankly, trusting the Lord again, isn't it? David is having to trust the Lord again with what would go on. Something that he would never see with his own physical eyes. And it was okay with David. But he didn't want to miss the final opportunity to communicate some of the most important truths of his heart that I think are God-given, by the way, as we see it recorded in Scripture, to the next generation. You four graduates represent for us today the next generation. You're not all grown up yet, but you're getting there, all right? And you represent for us our hope and our future. What will happen to the work of the Lord here or around the world, frankly, depends ultimately on you. We have come so far. By God's grace, we've come this far. Now, many of us are still here, and we're going to continue to do the work, but there will come a day when, frankly, in the normal order of events, we will not be here, and you will still be here. And there's work that must be done for the Lord. And so David, in this passage, is trying to share that heartbeat with Solomon. And there's really two main thoughts I want us to think about today in light of all that David says here, and we'll read selected passages throughout. First of all, maybe you're writing notes today. This is point number one. Life does have a priority, and that priority is a person. For David, his name was Jehovah God. For us, it's his son, Jesus Christ. Life has a priority, and it's God. And he ought to be the focus and center of your life, graduates, for all of us. Never neglect to seek and to serve God. So, chapter 28, verse 9. Maybe verse 7, let's start there. This is God, David rehearsing what God had said. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. God talking about Solomon. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, now David challenging his son Solomon, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord, the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Young people today, church family, let us keep our focus on God alone. Let's seek him. The word seek here in the verse number 9, that near the end of the verse, means to resort to. It means to actually speak of praying to and worshiping. He needs to be the focus of our life. May God help you, teenagers, young people, to always seek the Lord. May he be your resort. Not in the sense of recreation, but the one that you flee to for every part of your life. May he be the one that you consort with at every moment of the day. May you seek God. May you as well, as David says here, may you serve him. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. You see, God is concerned in our service for him, which is an outgrowth of our seeking of him. God is concerned about the quality of our service, not necessarily the quantity or the accomplishment, Thus, we understand and know now why David was not upset by the fact that he could not complete the work that he had desired to begin, the building of the temple. He understood that it was God's lot for him to put the process together, to start it. But it was not God's will for him, but God's will for his son to complete the work. He understood that God was concerned about what was going on in his heart first and foremost, not simply the quantity or the output of his life. It was commented even in our Sunday school class this morning. This culture is a result-oriented culture. CEOs, all the way down to the man on the line, are only a number. If it produces the result that the corporation wants, well, then you're in. If you can't get that result done, you're out, no matter where you're at in that great structure. That is not God's way. And I'm grateful for it. God, in his wonderful orchestration and design, has put together that when we serve him, he's concerned with how we serve him. So he wants us to do it with a perfect heart, David said. Solomon, serve the Lord. Do the work. There's work for you to do, but do it wholeheartedly. Do it with a perfect heart. God is looking at the inner man. He wants no idols there. Are you serving the Lord for the congratulation you will receive from a fellow Christian? Are you serving the Lord maybe in now or in the future because you'll receive some kind of remuneration for it? Is that why you're serving? That's an idol. God wants you to serve him because you're seeking him, because you love him. And your ministry ought always to be based upon and grow out of your deep love for the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do it with a perfect heart. And then he says, with a willing mind. Serve God with a willing mind, delighting in God's plan and God's pleasure. Delighting in God's plan and God's pleasure. Now, David reminded Solomon, don't forget, God knows you inside and out, this verse. He investigates and understands your heart and the framing of your thoughts, even how you put it all together, your thought process from one point to the other. We often get into conversation, and then we'll say, how did we get here from where we started? Our minds run the same way. One thought leads to another thought leads to another. God even knows the framing of your thoughts. And so God is looking. He's investigating your heart and mind to know if your service for him is done out of an outgrowth of your love and seeking him. Justin, Kyle, Emma, Robert, seek God with all your heart. And then let that motivate and direct your service for him, doing exactly what he wants with your life, with a willing mind, that you delight in God's pleasures, that you delight in his plan for you. You say, well, if you just tell me what his plan is, your plan today is to sit right here and listen to your preacher. All right? And the plan will be in a few minutes to go eat lunch together. Do you understand? It's a day-by-day, step-by-step process. Your plan right now, still, you say, hey, I'm 18, I'm out of the house, I'm on my own, I'm an old man, my old lady, all right, I can do what I want. That's not what Scripture really says. Sorry, yeah, that's right. The truth is, God has called you as a child in your home to obey your mom and dad, to honor your parents. They, in many ways, are the wisest counselors God has given you. Don't neglect their wisdom. As you yield to their wisdom and counsel, you are yielding to the Lord's wisdom and counsel. It will be God's plan for you. What a wonderful assurance spot you're in. I remember in college thinking, what do I do here? And then knowing biblically that I could call Dad, and if Dad said do this, before the Lord I could do that and know that I'm doing God's will. Now, maybe at this point in my life, I can't necessarily directly do that, but I should still honor my mom and dad. Dad's got a lot of counsel, got a lot of wisdom that he can give me. I should heed and listen, because often it's the exact will of God for my life. Let us be willing to focus our attention on God, seek Him, and then let our service be an outgrowth of that seeking of Him. Now, God not only should be that focus of your life, but He should also be your confidence or your faith. Look down in verse number 10 of chapter 28 and then verse 20. Verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Our faith is an actual outgrowth of the command of God in our life. When I say that I believe that God is my Savior, that meant there was some action in my life. Action in the sense that I submitted to God's plan of salvation. I said, Lord, I can't do it on my own. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. That's my faith being lived out, that God can be my Savior, that the work of Christ that He did on the cross of Calvary for you and me was sufficient to pay the price for my sin. And so I put my faith in that. Well, God has designs and plans for you. It's recorded in all of Scripture, the great principles of life, the Ten Commandments and all the outgrowths of those commandments, for you to obey and follow. Do them. That's God's will. But then God has a very particular will for you, like He had for Solomon. Solomon, we know God has revealed it. Go build my temple. What do we think of as Solomon's greatest feat to this day? The temple. That was God's plan for him. Now, did he do some other amazing thing? Absolutely. Yes, we know him as the wisest king of all the world. Absolutely. But in his service for the Lord, the temple stands as an ultimate picture of doing God's will for his life. Though knowing God's will may not be as direct to you as it was to Solomon, he definitely has a plan for you. And he wants you by faith to trust his word and follow in the work. Let's go to verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You see, really, my faith is a demonstration of my simple trust in God to do the work He's called me to do. So God says to Solomon, and I think by extrapolation to you and I today, be strong, be brave and bold to do the work, to do the work God has called you. Don't be fearing or broken over it. God is, and He will not drop you or leave you while you are completing the work that He's called you to do. Missionaries have said it when they've gone off to what we might consider a very dangerous field, and their people are back home are concerned about their life, their actual life. And it's been said more than once, to be in the center of God's will is the safest place to be. Make sure that you're following God's will for your life. And your life will end with great delight and joy before the Lord. Trust Him. Be strong and brave to do God's work. You young people are entering a world far different than even the world that I entered when I was graduating from high school. A world that, though we thought about and contemplated, thought it was far away. A world of potential Christian persecution, a world of economic downturn, a world where you may not have even the opportunity to be retired. That is the real world that you could potentially face. Let us, with God's help today, decide that with His help, as I trust Him, I will be strong, brave, and bold for the Lord. Doing God's work that He's planned for my life. David, as he completed God's work for his own life, was willing with his faith to exalt his great God. And so I want to go to chapter 29 here and see what he's done as he's considered God's great work through him in his own life. And it leads him to a life of thanksgiving and a moment of exaltation of his God. Begin in verse number 10 of chapter 29. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. as I stop here, because we're going to continue the reading, don't forget that you have a great God that you're serving, a God that is greater and more powerful than any one of us or any great king on this earth. He's over all kingdoms. Everyone must one day submit to Him. Live in submission to His will and work for your life right now. Trust Him, whatever He may allow into your life, because He's the great God, worthy of your worship, worthy of your faith. Trust Him. David goes on, "Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." You see, only God will give you the strength to do the work that God's called you to do. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to go your own way. He will fight against you, as David had already warned Solomon, as we read earlier. Verse 13, "Now therefore, O our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort?" In the intervening verses that we did not read this morning, there was a recounting of much of the giving that had taken place in preparation for the temple. Not only had David himself personally given and prepared for it, but many of the nation of Israel and the leaders, and in fact, maybe your Bible has the divisions written, and then you can see at the beginning of verse number 6, there's the princes and the people offering willingly to the work of the temple. And David is now just rejoicing that God was doing great work. What a wonderful God we have. So he says, verse 14, why don't we start there again, because I didn't complete the verse and it's important. "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after the sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. For we are strangers before Thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee in house for Thine holy name cometh of Thine hand and is all Thine own." At the end of the day, young person, at the end of the day, old person, all of our life is the work of God's great goodness to us. You see, David's faith naturally resulted in praise to his God and an honoring and upholding of the great God who did it all. God who was the great doer of the work. And now, in admonition to those that were listening to him, he begs them to be continuers of the work. Let God work through you too. God has done great work, young people, in your family's lives. God has done great work here in our church, your church. Be a continuer of the work. We can't all do it by ourselves. But may God's work continue until He comes, because you're faithful in trusting your great God. So life has a priority. It is God. Let Him be your focus and let Him be your faith. But life also has a great provision. God provides for His children, and He gives purpose and direction for them. And so David again shares his heartbeat and passion. He prepared for God's future. God had revealed to David a little bit of what would happen in the future, that his son would reign in his stead, and in fact, if his children would obey him, obey the Lord, that those children would reign forever. Amazing, amazing promise that God had given David. God had then specifically directed and told David that there would be a temple built. He wouldn't be the builder of it, but his next son, his very son, would be the builder of it. So David says to his son, "Prepare for the future. God has planned. Let us look forward to it and live for it." Go to verse 11 of chapter 28. Verse 11 of chapter 28. "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit." There it is, clue. This was God's work to David, actually. "But of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, and of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures as of the dedicated things, also of the courses," and I'll stop the reading there. And then he lists all the things that he had collected and put together. You see, for David, life wasn't about his dream. It was about God's plans. This morning, as you came up and we handed you a Bible, Pastor Allen introduced you. Some of you got your actual diplomas right over here with your parents and so forth. We often think about the wonderful dreams you might have. What are your dreams? And we listen them out. You know, you're going to study history. I presume the dream is I'm going to be a history teacher. All right? And physical labor in physics and for sports management and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking PE. I know it's beyond PE. All right, anyways, but that's my generation. I'm sorry. Anyways, okay. All right. And coaching. What a wonderful dream. And Emma, whatever it is. All right. Working through all that technical stuff, trying to figure out what the Lord has for your life. There's these dreams out there. Robert, maybe metalworking. What a neat thing. The Lord's put you into a great program to learn metalworking. That's amazing stuff. All these dreams. But are they God's dreams? David had a dream. Not just Martin Luther King Jr. His dream was to build a temple for the Lord. And God said, David, that's not your job. Now, as we've just read in verse 11, your job was, why don't you put the plans together, start collecting all the materials, but your son Solomon, that's my dream for him. I don't detect a note of bitterness in David's heart. God will direct your steps if you're willing to follow him day by day. So the dreams that you have right now may change. That's okay if they're God's dream for your life. Obey him. Love his word. Obey his commands. Let him direct your steps and fulfill God's plan for you. Now, you're doing the right thing, all of you, going off to further education so that you can prepare for what you sense is maybe God's directing your steps. I'm grateful for that. That's a wise thing to do, that you're not doing the foolish thing here to go on to get further studying, and I think the Lord's directing my steps there. Fine, and it may be that what you're thinking now is actually God's plan. I was a junior higher when the Lord began to burden my heart about preaching God's word as a pastor. I thought in the midst of my education, God had kind of redirected. Well, look where I'm at. Now, I didn't know that there was going to be a 20-year spot where I was going to be a youth pastor. That was scary. But the Lord helped. God's plans are always good. The Lord will do the same thing for you. Let him be the planner of your life. And do all you can now, as David did, to prepare for God's plan. David obeyed God using the gifts that God had given him for his service and service for the future. Live that way. I'm reminded of what we've already seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Don't turn there. But Paul, in challenging the church at Corinth, said for this day and age, build your church. Paul had laid the foundation of Jesus Christ at the church there in Corinth. And so to today, the foundation has been well established here. This local church built upon the doctrines and truths of God's word. You be about helping this church grow. As God keeps you here in this area and location, serve the Lord here. If God would direct you to another place, get into a Bible-believing, godly church that upholds truth right, and serve the Lord there and build that church. That's a part of God's dream for you. I know, because it's a part of all God's dreams for all New Testament believers. Be faithful in that. Do that. Not only did David plan for God's future, but he also provided for God's future. Just real quick, look at chapter 29, verse 2. We could read several verses here, but let me hasten on. Chapter 29, verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for the things to be made of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors and of all manners of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Whoa. You see, young person, and all of us, frankly, today, God's work needs to be done, as David said, with all of our might. With every ounce of effort and ability that God has given you, serve your God. Don't serve yourself. Don't serve your own fleshly desires. Serve God. Provide for the future. What God has given you, whatever it is in talents and abilities, in physical wealth, Use it all. Not just a portion of it. Use it all. To honor and glorify God. And with every ounce of effort and ability, serve God with all your might. All your might. And finally, God will one day use you, like David, to provoke others to serve God for God's plans. So prepare for it. You're doing that. Provide for it. Work hard at it. Give it with all your might. And then provoke others. Be an example. As we conclude today, let's go to chapter 29 and down to verse 6. I had referred to this already, but now let's see what happened. So we just heard what David had done in willingly giving to all of the work that was going on, all that he gave personally. Amazing. Then the chief of the fathers, verse 6, and princes of the tribe of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. They gave with all their might. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold, 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, so forth. And they gave all these things. They were following the example of their leader, David. David had showed them how to serve God sacrificially, willfully, with all of his might. Oh, would to God today that we had people at Heritage Baptist Church who showed before these young people how to serve God with all your might. Does your life, believer here today, demonstrate that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and therefore you're serving him with all of your might? Or do they see in your life that you serve your lawn or your boss or your spouse with all your might and not your God? Now, some of those things are all good and healthy, but out of balance, that's not right. You see, David had set a wonderful example. All that he had was God's, and he was willingly giving it back. That list there at the beginning of the chapter is amazing. He had won much in battle. He could have stored it up for himself. No, he stored it up for God. It is not it's not without purpose and reason that for the Jews, the treasury, the bank, was the temple. A wonderful clue in front of their very face that all that I have belongs to God. And so I must willingly let God direct and how I use all that I have. Not only my finances, but how I use my life. May each of us today, with all of our might, with every ounce of effort and ability, skill and talent, wealth or lack thereof, serve God with all of our might. Be that type of example for these young people so that they will know, they will have seen a model on how to live for the Lord, how to seek God, how to serve God. And teenager, there are young people already looking up to you. I'm going to pick on you. Little Drew thinks you're the king of the universe right now. He does. Thank you for loving my son, but you better be a good example, or I'm coming after you, all right? Does that make sense, folks? You set the example. There are young people here in our church today, as they see you graduate, and as they see you go off to college, they're watching and observing. They want to see in your life how to serve the Lord. How is it that you give your life to the Lord, even in the midst of college? Don't fail at being the example God has called you to be. Maybe we should go to one other passage, and then I'll stop. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul speaking to his son in the faith, like David was speaking to Solomon. And he says to Timothy in verse 12, 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth." Whether Timothy had a baby face or was frankly young in the Lord, he was looked upon as someone that was fairly young, even as a man. And Paul, encouraging his son in the faith, says, don't let that bother you. You continue to do what's right before the Lord. And so he goes on, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, talking about motivation there, in faith, in purity. Justin and Kyle, Emma, Robert. Don't let anybody despise your youth. You can, at your age right now, be a wonderful, amazing servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him. Obey His word. Seek the Lord with all your heart. And then serve Him with all that you have, with all of your might. Let Him control you, consume you, and be that kind of example to the next generation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truths that David shared with his son Solomon that, Lord willing, we could glean some things from today too. Lord, may You today be our focus and our faith. May we seek God with all of our heart. And then as a result of that faith and trust in You, learning and knowing and understanding Your word, may we rightfully serve You so that we give all that we have, all that You've given us in service for our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we do that with all our might. I pray specifically this morning for these four graduates that we have here with us today. May they seek the Lord, and may they faithfully serve God. May Your Spirit not let them. May He bring deep conviction if they would walk out of the way. May they passionately love You and be in Your word daily, in prayer daily, looking for opportunities to serve You and sharing the gospel and discipling others. May they in the path that You would lead them, whether it's here at our church or at another good, godly New Testament church, may they serve faithfully there. May they be the examples they ought to not only the younger generation, but even to the older generation. May they be motivators for those who maybe become lethargic in their Christian walk and in their Christian service. So Lord, help them. May we in the days ahead, as You would allow us to live before You would come, hear a good report of each of their lives. Father, I pray that we would never be saddened by seeing one of them walk away from You. And then I pray for all of us here today. May the same be true of our lives. May we seek the Lord. May we serve Him faithfully. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. Let me start today with this. You may be here today without our Savior, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. We've talked briefly about salvation and the salvation that each of these young people have professed. The wonderful work of Christ on the cross of Calvary for us. There's no way to serve or please God without first becoming one of His children, and that is done by putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life, repenting of your sin, turning to the Savior. Have you done that? Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. I am not one of God's children. I have not trusted Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. Trusting in maybe some good works or a church or someone that helps me, my good name. None of that will do, as even the scriptures were read this morning. Maybe today you would like to trust Christ alone. No one's looking about and you would just quietly slip your hand in the air and I can pray for you right now. My prayer won't save you. But I could be an encouragement to you right now and give you an opportunity in a minute to be able to come and speak to someone about this very need in your life. You could leave here today knowing for certain you're on your way to heaven. Christ is your Savior. You're part of God's family. Is that your need today? Could I pray for you? Maybe quietly lift your hand in the air and say, Pastor, that's my need today. Please pray for me. Anyone at all. Then believer, maybe speak specifically to those of you out there, not directly to our graduates. Is it characteristic of your life that you are known as a seeker of God, a server of God? Maybe some of what we've looked at from David's challenge to his own son Solomon has convicted your heart today, and you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. The Lord's word has worked in my heart today, and I need to grow in an area of either seeking or serving my God. Would you pray that God would help me? Anyone at all, quietly slip their hand in the air and say, that's my need today. Yes, amen. Yes, amen, amen, yes. Anyone else? Graduates, we as a church family have an obligation to you to pray for you. You have an obligation to the Lord to seek Him, to serve Him. Don't neglect your obligation. And with God's wonderful help, may you, today and in the days ahead, be able to exclaim like David that you have a great God who's done His great work in and through you. Father, we thank you for your word. May it take up good residence in our hearts. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking about. If the Lord has worked in your heart and you need to spend some time with the Lord, whether here at the front steps or at the front pew, kneeling in prayer, private time alone, that's fine. Or if you need some counsel or encouragement, come catch my hand. I'll step to the front. We'll turn the mic off. We'd love to have a counselor step aside, whether it's for salvation or where it's maybe a matter of great need in your life and seeking and serving the Lord. So as our instruments quietly play through the invitation hymn, if the Lord's working in your heart, why don't you come?